Exercise 810. The International Money Programme.
Countries that export primary raw materials could gain substantially by jointly agreeing to impose export taxes on those products. That's a suggestion in a new report from the Commonwealth Secretariat in London. It's called Export Taxes on Primary Products, and it's sure to interest many developing countries which need higher revenues from the raw commodities they produce. Development journalist John Madeley has been reading it.
Most countries, says the report, have experienced big trade losses in recent years as commodity prices have plummeted, whilst prices of manufactures from Western countries have continued to soar. Furthermore, virtually all recent efforts to negotiate international commodity agreements have ended in failure, and the new Common Fund for Commodities has not yet started. So, in primary producing countries, this new initiative is likely to be welcome. What the report is saying is that it is feasible for many of these countries to act in concert and put taxes on their exports and increase their overall revenue. 17 primary products are examined, many of them produced almost exclusively in developing countries. The report considers what might happen if countries impose a 10%, 20% or 25% export tax. In the consuming country, the price would rise and mean that less is purchased. But not much less, it seems, for most products. On 8 of the world's largest traded commodities, coffee, cocoa, tea, bananas, bauxite, copper, tin, and tropical timber, fall in demand would be modest, and producers would gain overall, no matter which of the three rates they applied. With a 10% tax, the additional revenue from the 8 products could be around $4 billion a year, whilst a 25% tax could bring in $10.5 billion. If sugar-producing countries could agree to impose a 25% export tax, the increase in export revenue is calculated to be around 23%, for cocoa, coffee and copper producers 13%, and for tea-producing countries 9%. The report suggests that for coffee, cocoa and tea, the most advantageous export tax for producing countries to levy would in fact be over 100%. For 6 primary products, palm oil, phosphate rock, iron ore, zinc, nickel and manganese ore, there might however be no gains for producers from an export tax. Even if a 10% tax rate were imposed, the resulting falls in amounts purchased would leave producers of these products worse off. But the producers of most products would stand to gain, and the report believes that export taxes would be administratively simple to operate and would not mean that countries had to export only a quota of a product, as they often do under an international commodity agreement. And negotiation between primary producing and Western countries would be unnecessary. This is John Madeley for the BBC's International Money Programme.
Exercise 811. Combine these pairs of sentences in the second conditional, like this. You hear?
Prices of 8 of the most traded commodities rise. Fall in demand is modest.
You say?
If prices of 8 of the world's most traded commodities rose, fall in demand would be modest.
You hear the correct answer.
If prices of 8 of the world's most traded commodities rose, fall in demand would be modest.
Now you try. 1.
Commodity exporters impose a tax. Prices in the consuming countries rise.
If commodity exporters imposed a tax, prices in the consuming countries would rise.
2.
Prices in the consuming countries rise. They buy less.
If prices in the consuming countries rose, they would buy less.
3.
Exporters of the 8 products impose a 10% tax. The additional revenue is about $4 billion a year.
If exporters of the 8 products imposed a 10% tax, the additional revenue would be about $4 billion a year.
4.
They put on a 25% tax. The income is $10.5 billion.
If they put on a 25% tax, the income would be $10.5 billion.
5.
Sugar-producing countries agree a 25% export tax. They increase their revenue by about 23%.
If sugar-producing countries agreed a 25% export tax, they would increase their revenue by about 23%.
6. A 10% tax is imposed for 6 of the primary products. The resulting falls in purchasing leave producers worse off.
If a 10% tax were imposed for 6 of the primary products, the resulting falls in purchasing would leave producers worse off.
7. Most producers impose taxes. They gain.
If most producers imposed taxes, they would gain.
Unit 9. Company Finance. Exercise 9-4.
So, the overall sales this year are up by £45 million. That's pretty good.
Yes, and trading profit is up too, from 19.9 to 22.4 million.
Interest on loans hasn't increased substantially.
Up by 300,000. That's to be expected.
Pre-tax profit looks okay, but tax at 5.5 million last year and 7 million this makes quite a difference to net profit. That's what, 10.1 million up to 10.8?
There's a slight increase in the dividend, and they've kept back a bit more in retained profit. The earnings per share figure is up by 2 pence.
Exercise 9-6. Say each of these phrases 10 times quickly to practice your English pronunciation. Peggy Babcock, Peggy Babcock.
Red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry.
6 months, 6 months.
Ship-shaped chip shop, ship-shaped chip shop.
Thin thing, thin thing.
High earnings, high earnings.
Exercise 9-8, the International Money Program.
On June the 1st, the worldwide news and financial services agency Reuters became a public company when it offered its shares for sale on the London and New York stock exchanges. More than 100 million shares were sold, bringing in over £50 million sterling for Reuters and marking a new stage in its history. The agency was founded by German-born Julius Reuter in 1851 to carry stock market reports for businessmen between European capitals. It began using carrier pigeons, but soon changed to the newly invented cable. Later, it widened the scope of its reporting and gradually built up an international network of reporters and a reputation for being first with the news. Wars in Europe and the Civil War in the United States strengthened its reputation. But carrying the news is a costly business, and the agency often relied on its financial services to pay for the general news gathering. In 1963, Gerald Long became Reuters' general manager and found the firm, owned mostly by British newspaper proprietors and run by a trust, short of cash again. So he and his fellow directors decided to hold back some of the profits from the commercial services and to use that money to expand Reuters' links with the financial centres of the world. The plan worked. In 1979, Reuters' operating profit was just under £4 million sterling. By 1983, in spite of higher costs, it was over £50 million. Even so, the directors believed they needed to raise more funds with a stock market flotation, as the present general manager, Michael Nelson, explains.
It's important for Reuters' continued development that Reuters has both money and shares for acquisitions. If Reuters is going to continue to grow very strongly, we have to be able to acquire companies which could contribute something to Reuters' business.
When the shares were offered on the London and Wall Street stock exchanges, market prices everywhere were falling, and Reuters didn't get as much as they'd hoped. The sale has, in any case, not been straightforward. Much of the enthusiasm for the sale had come from the British newspaper owners who jointly hold most of the shares. They were keen to get something back for their support of the news services over many years. The Reuters Trust Agreement, however, could have been an obstacle to their plan, because under its terms the company should never pass into the hands of one faction or interest group. To meet any objections under the new arrangement, the 14 trustees who have to maintain this independence have now been given a special founder's share. This means they can outvote any move to gain more than 30% control of Reuters. Some of the biggest institutions in Britain, the pension funds, decided against buying shares, partly because of the restricted voting rights of the new shareholders. How does the present general manager, Michael Nelson, feel about a sale that cost Reuters £12 million to arrange and didn't bring in as much as was hoped for?
I think that it has been a very successful offering. I think that it has been particularly successful when you consider how well it has done considering the state of markets. And we are very pleased, as far as Reuters management is concerned, that we have raised something over £50 million for the continued strengthening of Reuters.
Michael Nelson, General Manager of Reuters News Agency.
Exercise 9.9. Ask these questions in a more polite form, like this. You hear,
when did Reuters become a public company?
You say,
could you tell me when Reuters became a public company?
You hear the correct answer.
Could you tell me when Reuters became a public company?
Now you try. 2.
How many shares were sold?
Could you tell me how many shares were sold?
3. How much money did the sale bring Reuters?
Could you tell me how much money the sale brought Reuters?
4. When was the agency founded?
Could you tell me when the agency was founded?
5. Who became Reuters general manager in 1963?
Could you tell me who became Reuters general manager in 1963?
6. What was Reuters' operating profit in 1979?
Could you tell me what Reuters' operating profit was in 1979?
7. What was Reuters' operating profit in 1983?
Could you tell me what Reuters' operating profit was in 1983?
8. How did Reuters' directors decide to raise more funds?
Could you tell me how Reuters' directors decided to raise more funds?
9. Who is the present general manager?
Could you tell me who the present general manager is?
10. What were stock exchange market prices doing when the shares were offered?
Could you tell me what stock exchange market prices were doing when the shares were offered?
11. How many trustees are there?
Could you tell me how many trustees there are?
12. Why have British pension funds decided against buying shares?
Could you tell me why British pension funds have decided against buying shares?
13. How much did it cost Reuters to arrange the sale? 14. How did the general manager feel about the sale?
Could you tell me how the general manager felt about the sale?
Exercise 9-10. The British company Babcock International announced a pre-tax profit of $22 million for the half year ended July the 3rd. This figure was 70% up on the comparable period in the previous year, although its sales of $740 million were down 2%.
The Japanese company Hitachi announced a net profit of $710 million for the year ended March the 31st. This figure was 11% up on the previous year, and its sales of $18,500 million were also up 11%.
The Japanese company Sony announced a net profit of $150 million for the half year ended April the 30th. This figure was 220% up on the comparable period in the previous year, although its sales of $2,650 million were only 13% up.
The American company, U.S. Steel, announced a net loss of $112 million for the quarter ended June the 30th. It had also made a loss in the previous period. Its sales of $4,400 million were down 15%.
Unit 10. Bankruptcy and Receivership. Exercise 10-2. Practice the pronunciation of the 12 words containing the letter combination TH. The.
Either.
That.
This.
They.
Three.
Months.
South.
Worth.
Another.
There.
30.
Exercise 10-5. Talk about these things which were true for a time in the past, but which are not true now, like this. You hear? Sir Campbell Fraser is the chairman of Dunlop. You say?
Sir Campbell Fraser used to be the chairman of Dunlop.
You hear the correct answer.
Sir Campbell Fraser used to be the chairman of Dunlop.
Now you try. 1. Sir Michael Edwards works for BL.
Sir Michael Edwards used to work for BL.
3. Mr. Roger Holmes works for ICL.
Mr. Roger Holmes used to work for ICL.
4. Sir Maurice Hodgson is the chairman of Dunlop.
Sir Maurice Hodgson used to be the chairman of Dunlop.
5. Dunlop is one of the world's leading tire makers.
Dunlop used to be one of the world's leading tire makers.
7. Dunlop makes a profit.
Dunlop used to make a profit.
8. Dunlop owns tire subsidiaries in New Zealand and Europe.
Dunlop used to own tire subsidiaries in New Zealand and Europe.